Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you been enjoying the teaching so far?
Yes.
Have you been learning something?
Yes.
Have you been growing?
Yes.
That's the important thing. The whole purpose of this teaching is for us to grow in our relationship with our spiritual father. What happens with the spiritual father is that a spiritual father models Christ to us. Because the physical Christ is here through his body, and he has placed certain people, according to Ephesians chapter 4, or Ephesians chapter 2, he has placed certain people here, fivefold ministry, and they are supposed to be spiritual fathers. They have already walked with the Lord, they have attained a measure of maturity, and this maturity is not just taught to us, it is imparted. That is what a spiritual father does. A spiritual father imparts his life. And that has been a problem in the church. We sit in church and somebody's teaching us from the front. But there is not really life imparted. How is a life imparted? When you hook in with somebody, when you covenant with somebody, when you hook into a person's grace, when you see what they do, when you hear what they do, when you see their actions, when you are with them. That's the difference. That is why we look at Jesus and the disciples. Jesus was the spiritual father in the earth at that point in time of the disciples. And those disciples, the 12 disciples, and one we know was Frot, the 11 that remained, we are the fruit of their ministry. There was such an impartation from Jesus into their lives. And so we can look at it right through Scripture. Elijah and Elisha. Elisha walked in a double portion of what his spiritual father walked in, because there was a direct impartation. They walked together. And Scripture is full of it. For our purposes, that is, in a sense, more relevant, New Testament, we look at the life of Paul, for instance. And he writes here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone." There's an impartation that takes place. They are not only teaching. See, your spiritual father in the situation that you find yourself in, your spiritual father does not just teach you. You look at your spiritual father when the pressure's on, and you look at the actions and the reactions, the words, you listen to the words, you see how faith is walked out. It's one thing for somebody to preach that. Anybody can, in fact, preach that. I mean, Kenneth Copeland talks about a man that used to be in America in the old days. He pitched a tent because he had seen people do that. He was unsaved, but he preached. He took other people's sermons and he read the Bible to people, and then he gave an altar call and people would come forward and get saved. But he did that just to collect the money. He wasn't saved. But you see, the grace was upon the word. But he could not really demonstrate the lifestyle. See, that's where the difference comes in. If we look at Ephesians chapter 4, let's read from verse 11. "And Christ's gifts, his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us," the Amplified says. "Some to be apostles or special messengers, some prophets, some evangelists, some traveling missionaries, some pastors and some teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, God's people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body." It's your job to build the body of Christ. It's not my job. I teach you how to do it. You see, I can be an evangelist and put a tent up somewhere and reach 20,000 people. But can I father those people? Can I impart my life into them? Not really. I can probably effectively do it maybe with 10 or 20. Effectively. And that's already a challenge. Because Jesus only had 12. And as we know, one of them was not right. So, he says that it's my job to teach you. It's a spiritual father's job to teach you, but to model so that you can do the work of the ministry. So that the body of Christ might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in a completeness found in him. That's the responsibility that's on you. Are you enjoying that? So you've got to get them saved, you've got to get them taught, you've got to impart your life. You know what? If you lead one person to Christ per year, and you devote your life to that person. In other words, Mark 16, make disciples. It doesn't say make converts. It says make disciples. A disciple and a convert is not the same thing. It's easy to make a convert. But to take that person and walk with them and be there for them, day and night, because that's what it requires, and be a spiritual parent to them, is what will change them. Because what you impart into them is what they're going to impart into someone else. Now imagine you lead one person per year to Christ, and we can do more than that. But say we make a commitment that we're going to father one person a year. After a year, that person should be reasonably mature because we've walked with them, we've imparted with them. We've not just allowed them to sit somewhere and get messages. We've walked with them, we've demonstrated the Christ to them. After that year, they lead someone to Christ, and they do exactly the same what you've done, and you go again and you lead another person to Christ. So how many have we got now? We've got now 4 people, isn't it? You walk a year, you impart your life into that person, your spiritual child does the same with that person they've just led to Christ, they do that for a year. After a year, what happens? Each one of us gets a new convert, which we father and disciple. Now we've got 8 people. You can work out over 10 years. It's a lot of people. But then you have strong people. Then you have people that have been properly fathered. And not just 1 week of, what do they call them, faith foundations or something. And okay, now you can go and just go and do the work of the ministry. All of us know. There's not one person in this room that will argue with me. You can't just go after a week's training. Not in the kingdom. There's an enemy out there, and we know he's defeated. But if you have not walked with Christ, if Christ has not been formed in you, as Paul says in Galatians 4:19, he says, I travail again until Christ be formed in you. There you see his father heart for his children. He says, my little children. He doesn't say my grown children, he says my little children. So in his estimation, they were not mature yet. So you can't just go out there and run around. That's been the problem in the church. Because things have been out of order because we have not connected to a spiritual father and obeyed a spiritual father who has led and guided us past the pitfalls of ministry and past the pitfalls of Christianity. Many people, I mean, I've seen them. We've seen shipwrecked lives. We've seen divorces. We've seen all of that stuff. Well, I have a ministry. And if you're not going to release me, it's me and Jesus, and he's going to release me. How many wives have gone against their husbands? Well, I have a ministry. I'm going into the world. And there, what happens to the children? You know, whatever. There's no agreement. It's because there's no mature spiritual input from a spiritual father. A spiritual father releases grace. And before I start talking about our actual journey and some of the points in our journey, I want to remind you that I think we looked at Acts chapter 20. And we saw there in verse 28, Paul says, take care and be on guard for yourselves and the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you bishops and guardians to shepherd the church of the Lord, which he obtained for himself with his own blood. I know that after I am gone, ferocious wolves will get in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among your own selves, men will come to the front who by saying perverse, distorted, and corrupt things will endeavor to draw away the disciples. What we see here is that there was such a grace in Paul's life that he said, when I'm gone, the ferocious wolves will come in. What kind of grace did the man walk in? What kind of anointing did he walk in? Are we walking in that? It's a question we have to ask about our individual selves, about our families, about our ministry, our job, etc. We have to walk with the Lord, ask him to show us through a spiritual father where there's a lack in our lives. Because in Christ we are perfect. However, your Christian walk is one of continuous growth towards the fullness of Christ. In Christ you are perfect, but are you manifesting the perfection of Christ all the time? No, there's a growth. The scripture talks about the salvation of the soul as a process. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What salvation is that? It's not the salvation you received when you were born again and filled with the Spirit and so forth. There you received the perfection of Christ. But now you work out your salvation. It's the soul realm where the flesh has dominated your life. That has to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's our walk. It's one of being transformed. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. There's a transformation, which is a process. You are not the same person you were yesterday, or a year ago, or 10 years ago. There's a transformation that takes place. The Christ who is within you comes from your spirit, and he transforms you from the inside out. Now, the grace of a spiritual father draws that out of you. A spiritual father is more mature, has walked with the Lord a lot longer, and then can point out things in our lives instead of us trying to find these things out by trial and error and making massive mistakes. We've all made the mistakes because we did not at some point have somebody to speak into our lives. Now, we see here, I know that after I'm gone, ferocious wolves will get in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, he's been teaching these people. He's been imparting into their lives, yet he says, when I'm gone, it's going to happen. That's quite something. There was something upon that man and within that man that was so powerful that it stayed any darkness. And when he moved on, he said, it's going to happen. And we see in Scripture many things happened. Now, a spiritual father is a spiritual father because they have walked with the Lord. There's a grace impartation that has taken place. And I just want to show you, as far as Paul is concerned, how that grace operated and how he spoke of himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. We'll do a number of scriptures. Let's start from verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I, verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already. That's powerful grace. He didn't have to be there. That's powerful grace. He's already judged, as though I were present, concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit. That's very powerful. He wasn't there, but in spirit he was present. When you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a grace upon Paul. So he didn't physically have to be there. But it was as good as if he was there. Philippians 1 verse 7. Let's read from verse 3. Philippians 1 from verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of what?
Grace.
Whose grace? Paul's grace. Partakers of Paul's grace. If you have a spiritual father, you can sit with your spiritual father and partake of that person's grace. That grace comes from Christ. It's grace that has been imparted because of maturity, because of a walk, because of working out their salvation, because of the Word of God being built, because of Christ being formed. They are a spiritual father to us because they are more mature. They're walking in greater humility, so therefore they walk in greater grace. God gives grace to the humble. The further you go with the Lord, the more humble you become. I can tell you that. Trust me, trust your spiritual father. She will tell you that. There is no way that you will walk in the grace and the power that can change nations, that can raise the dead and all of those things if there's no humility. But the privilege that we have is that when we have a spiritual father, we're going to sit at the feet of our spiritual father and we can drink of that grace. I tell you what that has done for Annika and myself. It has saved us years and years of trouble having a spiritual father. instead of trying to figure out something, well, Lord, we think we hear you, and then we try and act on sort of what we hear, because you don't always hear clearly, because we're still growing in grace. We're still growing in that relationship. And so we go sit with Dad, and then he sorts it out in 5 or 10 minutes. No, that was accurate what you heard, but that's not actually accurate. This is what God is saying. Oh, okay, now we get it. And so next time God speaks to us, we understand more clearly what God is saying. That's why we have spiritual parents. Why reinvent the wheel when you can learn? This is about a culture. It's a culture that's in the scripture, where we walk with one another, where we hook into one another's grace like that. And it's different from my relationship with you as a brother or a sister. Yes, we hook in together and we walk together. But if I'm not your spiritual father and you're not my spiritual father, it's not the same grace. When I hook into somebody who's there already broken through in certain areas of their lives, in their finances and spiritually and with what God is doing, signs and wonders or whatever it is, with authority, I hook into that and that impartation comes into my life. God changes me and conforms me to the image of the Christ that is within the spiritual father. Let's go a little bit further. Romans chapter 2. I'm just illustrating to you the importance of the grace and using Paul as an example. Romans chapter 2 verse 16. He says there, Paul, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to whose gospel? Paul's gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, because he says in another place, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preaches the kingdom. But it became so part of him. Him and Christ became so close that you couldn't differentiate between what Paul was saying and what Jesus was saying. And so he said, my gospel. You've really got to know Jesus when you start saying, this is my gospel. According to the gospel of Jan van Rooyen, this is what's going to happen. This is what you should do. My gospel. That is powerful. But I believe only true spiritual fathers can say that, because they've attained a position in Christ where you really can't see the difference anymore. When you're in their presence, it's like being in the presence of Jesus. I mean, every time we see our spiritual father, I have to do a double take, because it's as I see in him Christ. Somebody met him for the first time, and I can't remember who it was. They told us last week, they said when they saw the man, they thought it was Jesus, and then they had to look again. You see, there's such a measure of Christ that you can't tell the difference. And they will talk of their gospel. Romans 16 verse 25. It becomes their gospel because that's what they live. They're not just talking about it anymore. Jesus was living what he was preaching. He was not just talking the walk, he was walking the talk. Romans 16, 25. Let's read from 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Read what it says there. My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Wow. Paul's gospel was one of experience, one of intimacy with Christ in the sense of living the Christ life in the physical earth, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the beginning, or since the world began. And then 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. Let's read from verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I would say that's powerful. That's what a spiritual father does. He lives the Christ life in front of you, before you. You can taste, you can see, you can smell, you can hear. You can see the disappointments. That's what's wonderful about a spiritual father. You find out that they're not perfect, that they're also on their journey. They've just gone further than you. And it is encouraging to see a spiritual father who also battles with things. But the most powerful thing is when you see that spiritual father break through. There's nothing that rejoices a son's heart more than that. Because, wow, if he can, I can. You know, it's easy to read about the apostles and Peter and Jesus and all of that. It's easy to read. Well, they did that and they did that. And it's easy to tell the stories. But when somebody demonstrates it in front of you, when somebody has the grace and the anointing and walks it out in front of you, man, that is powerful. Now, when we journey with our spiritual father, it is a journey where our own hearts are exposed to us, where our shortcomings are exposed, where the lack of the manifestation of Christ is exposed in our lives. Because we all want to walk in His fullness. But we all know that there are things that block. There are things. They're carnal things. There are ungodly beliefs in our minds. And so a spiritual father who is broken through these things will point these things out. Let's look at Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Note in this verse, nourishment is ministered from the head. Now, remember in Psalm 133, we see there that the anointing oil flows from the head of and the beard of Aaron onto his garment and right down. And then it also talks about how beautiful is it for brethren to dwell together, etc., etc. The oil flows from the head down. Who is our head? Christ. But is Jesus right here? Is he? No. He has chosen from the unseen world to manifest himself in and through men. And as we saw just now in Ephesians, he has chosen to appoint certain men to demonstrate him and to demonstrate who the Father is into our lives. So they form headship ministry. The fivefold ministry is headship ministry. So the anointing, the grace that is upon them, upon spiritual fathers, flows down. But we have to be connected. And one of the things, especially now, God is emphasizing that. We need to be connected with the spiritual father in covenant. God is emphasizing covenant in the church. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. People are fickle. It's a sad thing. However, people do not honor covenant anymore. They do not honor the blood anymore. They do not honor the price that Christ paid. And so God is restoring that. And He's using spiritual fathers to demonstrate covenant to us. So, where do we get our nourishment from? From the head. Christ is the head. But it's demonstrated through headship ministry, through fathers. The term knit together depicts unity as and is reflective of the position we experience when we look at Hebron. I believe it means place of covenant. Note that only when people are knit together will there come an increase of God in our lives. There's got to be that covenant. Now, we cannot come into the fullness of the Hebron position or covenant position unless we have made a decision and said, okay, Eugene, God has spoken to me, has He spoken to you, that you're my father and I'm your son. And then he says, yes, God has spoken. And we take the cup and we say, okay, this is for life. We are going to walk together. When you come to that place, then you enter that place of Hebron. That is where we've got to start off. There's a journey until we get to the fullness of the place of Zion, because that's what we are waiting for, the fullness of the manifestation of Christ. But we are His Zion. We are Zion. But it's only going to come when there's maturity in the body and accountability. So what I'm saying then, when I come to that place of Hebron with Eugene, I'm saying I'm accountable. And so in the, at 10 o'clock at night, I get a phone call from Eugene, and Eugene says, I have you on my heart. The Lord is saying this to you, that there's this in your life that you need to correct, and He's pleased with this, and tomorrow the Lord wants you to do that. Then I have the choice to dishonor the covenant or not. Say, yes, Father Eugene, I'm going to do what you say, whether it's comfortable or not. And so I do what He tells me to do. Most of the time, He will leave me alone to get on with my life. But when God speaks to him, He will speak into my life. And because of the covenant terms, I will do what He says. What I am saying is this. If Eugene is a spiritual father, he will be a proven spiritual father in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It's not me just coming up to him and say, okay, you're going to be my father. It doesn't work that way. Like in Christine's case, you are a proven spiritual father. So this is not just something that happens. This is not a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
But you yourself will be in submission to a spiritual father.
Yeah.
That is the key here. It's not just, well, I like you, you look so handsome and you're prosperous. This is what's happening now. People are saying, wow, that man looks so prosperous, I want him as my spiritual father, because they're looking for the blessing. They're not looking for the covenant and the accountability and that impartation that is maybe going to circumcise me so painfully that it's going to hurt. But at the end, it's going to bring me to the Christ-like image that he wants for me. Because let me tell you, when you connect with the spiritual father, he is going to show the inaccuracies in your life. He's going to show you the things in love, obviously, but he's going to show you where you are not Christ-like. Those areas which we don't want to face. Those areas where we have blinkers on. Now, husbands and wives know exactly what we're talking about. Mommy sees stuff in my life which I don't always see, but it's the same with me with her. Now, we might agree or disagree about that, but you know what? When the two of us sit before our spiritual father and he says, Jan, so-and-so and so, Annika, so-and-so and so, you know what? There's no place for argument anymore. I can't say, well, Annika, it's just your opinion. Or she can't say to me, well, Jan, you know, you're subjective, yeah, or emotional, or whatever it is. I can't say that. When my spiritual father points it out to us, there's no choice. We have no choice in it. And I reiterate what Christine said. You can't just appoint yourself as a spiritual father. God raises you up. You are recognized in the body of Christ by other leaders as a spiritual father. You will be a proven spiritual father. You will have been checked out by other fivefold ministry and other leaders and spiritual fathers. And they will say, this man, this Eugene here, is a legitimate spiritual father. And out of that position, when I then come to him and I say to him, God has spoken to me to connect to you as my spiritual father. And if God has spoken to him, he will understand how this whole thing works. And he, as the spiritual father, will dictate to me the terms. I want you to do this. This is how it's going to happen. We are going to get together at least once a week. If I don't hear from you, I'm going to phone you, or whatever it is. But there's going to be a mutual connection and an accountability. He's going to be accountable before God for me, and I am accountable like I would be to the Lord, to him. That's how it works. Note that only when people are knit together will there be an increase of God. This is how it works. I wondered for years. I mean, 40 years ago, I wondered, wow, how does that work? And I remember Norval Hayes was one. He was here at Rhema one day. And I saw that man moving in the Spirit powerfully. And then I looked at his life. And then I understood that he was connected to other men of God. But in particular, a spiritual father. I can't remember who it was. But then he introduced to us a young man. And he said, this is my son. And I thought, what does he mean by that? Anyway, this man went everywhere with him. Carried his case, carried the coat, you know, the whole thing. Did everything. He was there to do all the menial jobs. Everything. But he was with Norval Hayes everywhere. But what I started seeing over a period of time, because he came again, I started seeing the same grace and the same anointing was starting to manifest in this young man's life. Because he was connected. He was totally sold out to his spiritual father. He was there to serve him. If God eventually raised him up in ministry, well, that was the bonus. But he had made a decision. I'm serving my spiritual father, and I'll do whatever I can to make his ministry successful. That's the key. If you look at Paul with Timothy and Barnabas and Onesimus and Aquila and Priscilla, you look in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha and so forth. The one served the other one. And there was not really an expectation. Well, you know, if I do this, you know, then I will be famous one day. You know, I was connected to this famous Apostle Eugene. And, well, you know, that makes me something. No. Just serving the spiritual father. Just serving the needs. And there will come a definite increase of God. Or a manifestation of God. Even though this is true, the core imperative in the verse that we just read is to be first joined to the head so that nourishment may come from the head. That is the important thing. And initially, when you connect to a spiritual father, there's like a, it's like almost like a wrestling, because you're trying to find, how am I connecting to this man? But from the spiritual father's side, it's the same thing. There are things that have to be worked out. And the terms of this covenant have to be worked out. Thereafter, the state of unity and connectedness in being knitted together will ensure that the nourishment is easily distributed into your life. It takes a while. And so what will happen is that there will be increase, and this increase will come from God. The first step, however, is to realize that nourishment, grace impartation, release of the anointing, however you want to look at it in your life, comes by connecting accurately. Then the increase comes. Increase will come when we are in unity with our spiritual father, when we see his vision, when we understand his mandate. It's not my spiritual father's job to try and, okay, you know, I've got to submit to Jan's vision and do this and that. Yes, he will promote what he knows God has called me to do. But my first job is to see that if Eugene is my father, I find out what God has called him to do. I support him in everything. And in serving him in that way, automatically my own ministry will start coming forth. And then my spiritual father will, out of the grace and the wisdom and the anointing that God has given him, will start ministering into my life and say, okay, this is what God has called you to do. Now start doing it this way. Do it this way. Watch out for that. Watch out there. 30 years ago I did that and this is what happened to me. Don't do that. You see, it's a good thing. Yes, as Christine said, it can open itself up for manipulation and control. That's why a spiritual father must be a recognized spiritual father in the body. Must be recognized by other recognized men and women. Not just somebody. Not just anybody. Well, I'm a dad now. Doesn't work like that. Increase will come. A release of grace and anointing will come. Release of prosperity like you've never seen will come. But first, I as the son have to connect to receive the nourishment from the head. And the kind of increase that will come is the God kind of increase. Amen. Not me laboring and carrying on. Because I am connected to somebody who hears God. It doesn't mean that I must not hear God for myself. That's not, if Eugene is my father, it is not his job now to go and hear on my behalf. Only sometimes. I must still obey. I must still walk out my road of obedience every day. But where I get stuck, I come here and I say, I'm stuck. What do I do now? Or he'll phone. Or he'll email me and say, listen, I have you on my heart. What's going on there? Now, well, we've decided to do a certain thing. We feel this is God. And then he'll say, yes, that is God, but what are you doing? Something's not right. Something doesn't feel right. Well, we're doing this. Okay, let me go and hear from God. And then next day he comes back and says, no, that's not what the Lord is saying. This is how I believe God is saying for you to do it. And so he walks you, coaches you, guides you along. But you still walk out your salvation before the Lord. You still spend your time with God. It's not a situation where the spiritual father now does everything for you. It doesn't work like that. So, before the impartation takes place, before the nourishment starts taking place in our lives, there is a joining to the head. Numbers 27, verse 16 and 17. Numbers 27, verse 16 and 17. Let Jehovah, the God of spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation. So you'll find a spiritual father will normally have more than one spiritual son. And truth be told, in any congregation, the man who stands in the front or the woman who stands in the front should be the spiritual father of everybody in that congregation. Because what that will prevent is people hiding away. You know what I'm talking about. Churches are full of people. They just go there because they're earning brownie points. Okay, I've gone to church on Sunday. That's all why they're there. Or they're so scared God's going to zap them. This is the reality. Well, I went to church. And I'm putting my tithes in there. I mean, do they really have a relationship? If you don't have a relationship with a spiritual father, do you really have a relationship? You have a relationship with God. Yes, you are a child. But there's not direct access through somebody with authority speaking into your life and forming and travailing and waiting for Christ to be formed in you so that you get to the fullness of your life and your ministry. So God appoints a man over the congregation who may go out before them and who may come in before them and who may lead them out and who may bring them in, that the congregation of Jehovah be not as sheep who have no shepherd. There. Even in the Old Testament, a spiritual father. He goes before them, leads them in, leads them out, whatever is necessary. Most people cannot relate to a spiritual father over them because they do not believe that God is speaking through such an individual. The church is full of it. Well, that's his opinion. He went to Bible school, but I don't agree with that. Listen, it's in a way a scary place to be naked, spiritually naked, emotionally naked before a spiritual father who sees what really goes on within you. And so, well, now I'd rather not do that, you know. I have my own way of serving God. But the biggest excuse we've heard over, I mean, I've been in ministry for 35 odd years. No, well, we don't believe that he speaks for God. We only agree with some of what they say. If the man or woman is a proven father, a proven minister, a seasoned minister, who is connected to others, it's like saying Kenneth doesn't know what he's talking about, or saying that Gloria doesn't know what they're talking about. We'll only agree with some of that. Would you dare to do that?
No.
No. If you connect to a spiritual father, you've got to believe that they're speaking the truth for your well-being. God chooses certain people to do this work for him and to do his work for him. God is a spirit, so he cannot pitch up here physically, but he pitches up in us and through us. So in a sense, the Catholic Church sort of has it right, because they say the Pope is Christ in the flesh. Okay, now it's not completely accurate. But your spiritual father sitting right there, I know her. Her whole heart's attitude towards you is to minister Christ to you. That's how you know a spiritual father. God sends men and women with his word for his sheep and to protect the sheep. God will place a man or a woman, a spiritual father in your life to serve as a spiritual father, and much of his core dealings with you will be transmitted via this individual. They will speak into your life. They will carry you. Remember what we saw with Paul? He carried them in his heart. He was praying and then, what's that? Are you guys doing my gospel? That's what happens with a spiritual father. They carry the people inside them. The sheep also keep the parents awake at night. A spiritual father goes out before you, comes in before you, leads you, brings you in, and shepherds you. And an important part, circumcises your heart. A spiritual son never circumcises the heart of a spiritual father. Never. You never correct a spiritual father. The spiritual father circumcises the hearts of the children to cut away the flesh, that which is carnal, that which is not of Christ. That's the job. Okay, I will stop there, and then we can continue there. But I think we've laid some more foundation, and you're starting to understand a bit more how this thing works. It's a serious thing. So, Father, we thank you that you open up your word to us, that you open up this revelation of fathers and sons to us. Lord, that we walk it out accurately. Lord, that we connect to men and women of character. Men and women are recognized in the body of Christ. Men and women who have proven themselves in the ministry, who have proven themselves before you, and have proven themselves as spiritual parents. And so we know that you raise up our spiritual parents for our own good, to lead us to that place of fullness in Christ. And so, Father, as we close, we thank you that you take this word, you build it into our hearts, that it becomes life within us, so that we can accurately connect and covenant with the spiritual Father. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.